Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we stand before Christ, and we will stand before Christ, each of us will be revealed for what we have made of ourselves on the basis of the standard that Jesus, the Christ, gives to his apostles as he teaches them. It's not a secret. We know what it's all about. It has to do with the compassion for and love of others. If we have that compassion and we use our bodies and our resources and our minds and our abilities in order to offer ourselves to others in compassion, then we will be becoming the sheep of the shepherd, Jesus the Christ. If we use our bodies and our free will and our minds and our abilities to go about our own business and gather for ourselves, not being part of the flock, not being concerned for others, then we are living like the goats that are not part of the flock of the Good Shepherd. It's just as simple as that. Every year, we have this great fasting season, which is not quite here, but almost. It's like the dawn over the ocean that Sharon and I got to see last year. It's coming and it's coming and it's coming, and then all of a sudden it's there. And that's how the dawn of the beginning of the season to prepare for the resurrection of Christ is. That's what the return of Christ will be like. But we have this time now to prepare. It's called our life. And what we do during the course of our lives will prepare us for the last judgment. Great Lent is an opportunity to focus on the fact that that is the nature of our life. It's an opportunity to prepare for the celebration of the resurrection of Christ and the dawning of that light into the world that God makes it possible for us to enter into through himself. Jesus the Christ, the one who is the door for the sheep to enter into. That is the door, and we must enter through it. All of us are Christians. We have the freedom to live this life that we have been given. But St. Paul warns us not to let our freedom become a stumbling block, so that we find ourselves using our lives and our bodies and our minds and our gifts and our abilities to serve ourselves, to feed our own bodies, instead of using them to feed others in compassion. The thing about consuming food is that when I eat something, it nourishes no one but myself. I have to eat. I don't have to make the world into my food. I don't have to make others and the relationships that I have with them, the contact that I have with them, an opportunity to consume their spirit and gain some kind of advantage over them, to use them, to lord it over them, to build myself up, to feed my own self to the loss of all others. Fasting is about that. It is about compassion and love of others. We cannot eat selfishly and feed others. Take food out of your own mouth, we say at Thanksgiving, the little programs that we have on the posters on our walls. Find some way to send food that you would have eaten off to others who don't have food for themselves. It's a good learning and teaching device. Now, it's unfortunately not as simple, although sometimes we try to teach children in this kind of way. But you can't reduce what God is teaching us to just that idea of some kind of a social responsibility for those who are in need. Those who need something from us are around us all of the time. There are our fathers and mothers, our brothers and sisters, the members of our family, and all of the people that we know. They all need something from us. They all ask something from us. A good word. A word to help to free them instead of binding them up to the things of this world, instead of binding them up into some kind of a contest and conflict between the two of us. Instead, the freeing word that we could give to them when they are in need. We should go literally to the prisons and help those there. We should nurse the ill and feed them instead of putting the spoon in our own mouths and to feed others. That literal carrying out of compassion is compassion. There's no doubt about it. But we are called to live by compassion. Constantly, in all of our relationships with others. And if we don't, if we do something else, it will make us into something other than what God created us to be. If we do what we ought to do, and we live with compassion and love and affection for others, not as some kind of a duty that we put on our selfish ego that only builds us up. It makes us feel grand. I'm doing this for others. That's the voice of a goat speaking for sure. We set ourselves up, given our freedom, and we serve ourselves. It's a difficulty that we have to deal with beginning in our childhood. The selfishness of the body. The body speaks and it says, where's mine? I want it. Why can't I have it? You're telling me I can't eat this because what? God doesn't want me to have good food? Why can't I have a hamburger? Why do I have to eat these beans? I want it. It's the body speaking, demanding to be served. But the fact of the matter is, the reality is, that the body is only fulfilled by following the soul in its ascent toward God. We need the body in order to be able to do that. If we're going to use our lives, the lives that we actually live in the world, as the means of ascending to a oneness with God that we have been given, if we live it, we have to use our bodies to do that. As we walk through our daily lives and interact with others as we do our work, others are around us and they are needing words from us that are words of love and compassion, not syrupy, phony affection, but just the word that we can find because of genuine concern over where that other person is at that particular moment, instead of falling into the trap of gathering together with others into inner circles where we gossip about those outside of the inner circle, or condemning people who, because they gather into little circles and condemn those outside of the little circle. What can we do instead? We learn how to do that by fasting from pleasing ourselves as though we were the center of everything. If we live like that, it will make us into the ones who end up at the left hand of God in the end. And no kind of formal belief or faith in Orthodox Christian life, where we don't actually follow and live that life, will make the least bit of difference. The teachings are there to guide us in actually living a life that God has made it possible for us to live. In the garden, Adam and Eve were not created perfect. They were created free. They were free because they lived at one with God from His own life. And they fell into bondage because they were tempted to try to live from the world, from creation, instead of from God. We have had that freedom restored to us. We can live a life of freedom and oneness with God by moving toward Him. Gradually, we are changed if we begin to move toward Him. so that on that day of judgment, we will find ourselves on the right hand of God, almost surprised. Because we haven't been doing it in order to find ourselves there. We have been doing it out of the love of God and compassion for others, and we've been so busy actually living the life that God has given us to live that we forget about all of that. If we tried to do it with that goal in mind, wouldn't it be that selfish ego, that concern for ourselves, that we express whenever we eat something without first raising it up to God and having the consumption of our food being a communion with Him and not just consuming it for ourselves? That's the kind of selfishness that we end up serving as the alternative to the life that God has given us. It's one way or the other. We can always repent. We can always have a change of heart. We can always, this next time, live as God has made it possible for us to live. That's always possible for us. But if we don't, if we continue in a path that is defined by our own selfishness and self-love, then the path of our life will shape who we are. We may even think we are deeply spiritual and religious people, focusing on our spiritual lives 24/7 and ignoring everyone else around us. Where are we going to fall once we stand before Christ? These are things that we actually have to do something about. We can't just talk about them or hear them being talked about or read something. We have to actually engage in the spiritual struggle and the spiritual effort that is the coming Great Lenten season. We are told that we should greet the Lenten season not with dread and regret for the things that the body is not going to be able to indulge itself in for a few weeks, but instead to greet this coming spiritual effort with joy, because we are returning in the deepest possible way with a focus that stands behind everything that we do toward the kingdom of God, preparing ourselves to stand in His presence. And we do it so intensively that we forget about the idea that that's the goal that we are trying to accomplish. Instead, we focus on the actual doing of the preparation, the actual denial of that center of selfishness that disorients the body so that the body does not follow the soul that loves God. Turn it around by fasting. Take hold of the body by love of God and reorient so that it participates in an actual movement through this coming time of the Great Lenten season toward God, toward the celebration of our own resurrection in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.